with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. I have invented a computer game for adult Catholics. Google the gospel story and then check on the images that come up. I tried this with today's call of Peter and Andrew and found not only clip art, but also masterpieces, indeed one by Caravaggio. They were very interesting, but one common feature was that Jesus was pictured as a young man, but the disciples were portrayed as much older. This is almost undoubtedly the reverse of reality. Indeed, the call of the disciples who became the 12 apostles very much hinges on the way that young men respond to somewhat older charismatic leaders. It is interesting that many studies have been made on Jesus and the groups that he encountered. We can read much about Jesus and Pharisees, Jesus and Gentiles, and for Luke, Jesus and women, but little on Jesus and the post-adolescent males who so enthusiastically followed him. My memories of that age is rather dim, but the interplay brings back many, many thoughts. Peter knew Jesus. The chapter before this, Peter hosted Jesus in his house, and Jesus cured his mother-in-law. This certainly got Peter's attention and respect, so that when he sees him again, he calls him master. Although Peter was a fisherman from his childhood, he even follows Jesus' instructions about casting his net, although it was not Jesus' trade. But note what Jesus says to him. "Go out into the deep. Take a risk. Be daring." This is important in motivating young men. If he told Peter to do a cost-benefit analysis and see him in the morning, he would have lost him and his crew. But do something heroic, do something unusual, do something great, and these exhausted men will try again. And indeed, we saw with great success. All discipleship begins with the call of Jesus. We do not wish ourselves into following him, but we follow by answering his call. All of us have that vocation. In this call, we see particularly clearly that the closer we follow it, the more difficult life might be, but the more fulfilling and the greater the catch. Now, there are some things with young men which make old men smile and women of all ages, if not laugh outright, at least roll their eyes. Although most of us, and I mean men in general here, like to think that we are independent, and as young men, we really relished in that, and we did not follow the crowd, young men in particular need to do things in groups. Look at today's reading. Peter did not sign up alone, but with his brother Andrew, and indeed James and John joined as well. The need for community is part of being human, and even people who say that they do not need other people will form communities. These groups can range from anything from fraternities and bars to golf clubs and the Knights of Columbus, but can become an essential part of a person's life. Even after Peter has denied Jesus, he and the rest of the apostles have abandoned him. They still return to the upper room because, as Peter has said to Jesus previously, to whom shall we go? Peter and the future apostles show us that we will not find Jesus or cling to him alone. We must do it as a community. Now, wherever there are men, there is a need to create a hierarchy. Who is in charge here and who reports to whom? This can sometimes be taken to extreme limits, and we see that as well with the apostles. After Jesus has told them that he will be crucified and that they can expect to be persecuted, they are still concerned about who will be in charge. Who is going to be the chief deckhand on the Titanic? Luke tells us an argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. Jesus needed to correct them. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest." I don't know how much of that they even understood, but I'm sure the part that they did understand, they did not like at all. The fierce devotion of young men to a mentor is a lesson for all of us, but it is double-edged. Devotion is particularly, is potentially a means of great holiness, but also a potential destruction. When I look at the Charlottesville riot of white supremacists, I think how similar in many ways this was to any number of groups, some of which religious, to which I have been a part, particularly as a young man. There is camaraderie. There is a sense of purpose. There are the little in-jokes and terminology. There is the intense community. But the object and intent are vile. And there's very little self-reflection. We meet Jesus as human beings with our frailties and faults, both as individuals and as groups. With men, it will always be taking ourselves too seriously and seeking too intensely for position, even if on the face of it, it is totally ridiculous. Peter, though, whose faults are revealed to us with reality TV precision, nonetheless completes his task. He becomes a great apostle, indeed the first pope, and today we are shown why. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter, with all his frailties, with all his insufficiencies, begins, though, with basic honesty. "I am sinful. I am not worthy." He did much to prove this again and again, but he never lost his sense that no matter what, God would reach out to him. In the Acts of the Apostles, he tells the assembly in Jerusalem, "We believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they." We are always sinners. Whether we are the most simple believer, the greatest theologian, or the first pope. And we always need Jesus. We should notice that Peter begins with calling Jesus Master, a title of human respect, but he ends by calling him Lord, a recognition that belongs to God. Now, acknowledging one's sinfulness is more than merely reviewing one's greatest hits and apologizing for them. The confession of individual transgressions is important, indeed a necessary spiritual exercise. But more is meant here. No matter how we first encounter Jesus, no matter how far we come in knowing and loving him, there will always be a gap between us and one from our side we cannot bridge. Yet Jesus can, and in his death and resurrection, he did cross it. Peter began to follow Jesus on the shores of a lake in Galilee. Tradition tells us that he died in Rome. We come to Jesus in many ways, and we do not know where he will lead us. But Peter shows us that no matter where we end up, we must begin and many times find ourselves on our knees. Jesus is more than Master. Jesus is Lord.